Folks, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is kind. And this kindness was manifest when He appeared and died for our sins. He was kind to us. We were once all led astray. We were once all disobedient. We were once all everything we saw earlier. But He was kind.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, it's easy to imagine that the fear of eternal punishment would be enough to motivate those outside of Christ to turn to Him. But that isn't necessarily the case.
You know, Dave, as we're going to see in our time together today, salvation came to us through Christ, ultimately because it was a manifestation of God's kindness, grace, love, and mercy. You see, it's not just the knowledge of His judgment alone that brings us to salvation. So then, with this in mind, how are we to share the gospel with those around us? That's what we're going to consider on today's edition of Equipping the Saints. Our text is Titus chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 4 and 5.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And this is a reminder in context. We were just that way, but look what good in salvation God did for us that we did not deserve. It is the motivation here. It is God's saving motivation. Nothing to do with us. Everything to do with His wonderful character manifest in Christ. So what was the motivation from this passage? We'll see it has to do with His attributes of grace, kindness, love, and mercy. First, let's review the first one. We saw in chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." Or literally, God's saving grace has appeared. It has appeared in Christ. And down in chapter 3, verse 7, we see that being justified by His grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor towards us, manifest in the person of Christ. God was gracious to us. Well, how was He gracious? He sent His Son to die for us. He sent His Son to die for us. We deserved punishment and death, but God sent Christ anyway. Grace. In contrast, we were just like those non-believers. They don't deserve grace. We don't deserve grace. And God sent His grace in Christ. And by implication, I believe we are to be gracious. We are to be gracious, ready for every good deed, maligning no one, not contending, but gently forbearing in the context of meekness. Well, not only did God graciously pour out His grace and manifest that to us, we see specifically now in our passage three things. We see kindness, love, and mercy. First of all, let's take a look at His kindness and love. Verse 4, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us." We have this word epiphany, this word we saw earlier, the grace of God has appeared. Now the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind has appeared. It has shone forth. When Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, His kindness and love and also His grace appeared in the scene of man. It appeared in the person of Jesus Christ, God the Son taking on human flesh. It shined forth. And our passage is saying here, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared." Salvation is a manifestation of God's kindness. God's kindness. The word translated kindness, krestos, gathers its root actually from furnishing what is needed. It speaks of a gracious attitude manifest in being helpful and beneficial. It reflects benevolence in action. It is goodness in action. It's translated kindness, I think, 8 times and 1 time goodness. We see in Scripture that kindness is actually a manifestation of love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. This chapter, which is not the marriage chapter, it's the chapter about Christ. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. Love is kind. That's our word. and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love is kind. Love is kind. Kindness is a fruit of God's Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and our word krestos, kindness. The fruit that is manifest in the life of a believer who abides in Christ, His Spirit-inspired word working out in the life, one of those fruits is kindness. And kindness is linked to our salvation in this passage. And it is also linked in others. The Apostle Peter speaks of it in 1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envy and slander, put it aside. And instead, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. And here's the clause. If you have tasted the krestos, or the kindness of the Lord, if you have truly tasted His kindness in the context of salvation, then put these things off and grow in the Lord via His word. It's related to salvation. Folks, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is kind. And this kindness was manifest when He appeared and died for our sins. He was kind to us. We were once all led astray. We were once all disobedient. We were once all everything we saw earlier. But He was kind. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. And folks, His grace in the context of kindness will be, ultimately, we will be trophies of His grace in the context of kindness for all eternity. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, which we'll see later, because of His great love, which we'll see in a minute, which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And here's why. In order that in the ages to come, that's eternity, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. In heaven, we are going to be trophies of God's grace in the context of kindness. Because God took us from where we were, and His kindness appeared, and He saved us. He saved us. Well, notice we also see not only was His kindness of God our Savior, did that appear, but His love for mankind. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared. This term love for mankind is philoanthropia. Phileo speaks of a loving affection. And anthropos speaks of man, anthropos. It speaks of a loving affection towards men. It's not agape love, but it stems from that. It is a loving affection, His kindness and His loving affection towards mankind. And as I shared, although it's not agape love, it does arise from that. It's God's love for us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And we certainly know that God demonstrates His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And here we see His kindness and love for mankind appeared. God was kind to us in sending Christ. God was affectionate towards us in sending Christ. We need to be the same way, folks, by His power and His Spirit. So here's the point. Folks, we are to be kind. We ought to be loving to those who don't know Christ. Because our Savior is loving and kind. In contrast, we are to be loving and kind, ready for every good deed, maligning no one, not contending, but gently forbearing in the context of meekness. And our motivation is that we were once like them, but Christ was kind and loving to us. Now, I need to share, I'm not saying that we don't speak the truth in love. I'm not saying that we ignore sin. We share the gospel, which is going to confront the sin of those who are not saved. But ultimately, we're to be kind and loving. We're to be ready for every good deed. That's what we see. Let me ask you this. Are you kind and loving towards non-believers? We tend to have an arrogant attitude towards them because of their sin. We can tend to not be affectionate towards them because of how evil they are. We can tend not to be kind to them because of how evil they are. Praise God, the Lord wasn't like the way we were and are at times. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. If Christ would save us manifesting His kindness and love, should not we, by His power and Spirit, equipped by His Word, be kind and loving to those who don't deserve it? Yes. Well, notice also we see here that He saved us, and we're going to also see that it was based on His mercy that He saved us. Verse 4, but when the kindness of God and our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, and here we go, the main point, He saved us, and then we have a clause that hangs on this, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. And this is a crucial part for us to understand for Paul's argument in this passage concerning the way we are to act. This bracket of good deeds we see in chapter 3, verse 1, and then in verse 8. It is crucial for us to see this. His point is here, ultimately, that God saved us not because of what we did. And thus, we should be behaving righteously not because of what they do. Right? That God was gracious, kind, and merciful. The basis of our salvation was not because of our deeds or works. We were not saved on the basis of our deeds. He says, He saved us not on the basis, not on behalf of our deeds or ergon, our works. Salvation cannot be earned. We cannot work for it. Scripture is clear that no one is saved by their works. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then? Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found. For if Abraham was justified by works or ergon deeds, he has something to boast about. If you are saved by your works, then you have something to say. Hey, I did something, right? But not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as favor or grace, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, that's all of us before we were saved, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing upon the man whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. You are not blessed if you have anything to do with your salvation. I went to church, that's why, or I did this or that. But the one who believes in Christ and trusts in Him, he says, ultimately, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Will the Lord take your sin into account? Is your sin covered? He saved us not on the basis of deeds. And he adds this phrase, which we had done in righteousness, a very interesting phrase that somehow we did righteous deeds before we were saved. I don't think that's what he means. Because there are none righteous, not even one. I think he is pointing to the fact that before we were saved, we thought we did things in righteousness. And he's saying, not on the basis of deeds we did in righteousness. Even those great deeds in our minds that we thought were good do not save us. There may be some of you here today who think you have done things to be right before God. That's not how it works. Because then you can boast. It is God's kindness, His grace, His love, and we see His mercy that came in Christ, and He saved us not on the basis of deeds. I ask people at times, when were they saved? And they say, I got baptized. I say, no, when were you saved? Baptism does not save you. An act does not save you. When did you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and trust in Him as Savior? Not when did you do something. Not when did you work for something. He saved us not on the basis of deeds. I tell you today, if you think there's something that you can do to be saved, you are deceived. You are still in that sinful state which God will judge. But God's kindness and His love for mankind has appeared. And the truth of Christ is that He died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose and appeared. Well, next we see it's ultimately according to His mercy, not according to our deeds. He saved us, verse 5, not on the basis of our deeds, which we had done in righteousness, but in contrast, but according to His mercy. Instead of our deeds bringing salvation, it is a merciful God who brought salvation. This term mercy comes from the Greek word eleos. It speaks in its very basic sense of an attitude or emotion that is roused by the affliction of another. It includes the idea of compassion and sympathy towards those in affliction. God was merciful towards our afflicted state of sin. And God is merciful towards you in your afflicted state of sin, in that He sent His Son to die for us. It was our affliction and misery and sin that aroused God's mercy. We also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. Oh, brother, but God was merciful. It's not because we could do anything. Out of the compassion and sympathy towards our misery caused by our sin, God reached forth in mercy and sent Jesus to die for us. And indeed, we see throughout many scriptures that His mercy is integrally connected to salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, the ladies are going through this right now, and their lesson is on His mercy this week. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again. We see as Zechariah prophesies concerning Christ, concerning John the Baptist, the one who would prepare the way. Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited us and accomplished redemption for His people, and has raised up a horn of salvation in the house of David His servant, as He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us, to show mercy towards our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. And you, speaking of John the Baptist, He says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give His people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of, here we go, the tender, and here's our word, mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high shall visit us. God was merciful. We see the same thing in Ephesians chapter 2. I've read through it before, verse 4. We were dead in our trespasses and sins ultimately, but God, being rich in mercy because of His great love, which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. Folks, you cannot be saved by what you do. And if you're trying to do something to be saved, you are deceived. And God is a merciful God, and He sees your sinful state, and He has sent Christ to save you. It's according to His great mercy. Now, folks, on a side note, this mercy should cause us to be changed as believers who have experienced His mercy. Romans chapter 15 speaks of His mercy, and it talks about what we should be doing because of His mercy. Chapter 15, verse 8, for I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on the behalf of the truth of God, to confirm the promises to the fathers, and for the Gentiles to glorify God for His mercy. Do you want to know what glorifying God looks like? And He says, as it is written, therefore I will give praise to Thee among the Gentiles, and I will sing to Thy name. And He says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. Glorify God for His mercy. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we're familiar with it. We didn't have mercy, but we have received mercy. Ultimately, that we would proclaim His excellencies. Folks, God is a great God and Savior who demonstrated His kindness, love, and mercy by taking on human flesh, living the perfect life, and dying for our sins. And next week, we're going to see ultimately how He did that, how He renewed us and regenerated us through His Spirit, how He made us born again, made us alive, and washed us of our sin. So what's the point here in this passage? Why is Paul revealing these wonderful truths concerning Christ? Is he just revealing them for us to look at them alone? Well, certainly we rejoice in them, but there's a context in which we see it. Verses 1 and 2 tell us how to behave towards non-believers. Verse 3 tells us we were just like them, and then the following verses show us in contrast what God is like and what He did for us when we were like them. And ultimately, by implication, we should be doing the same thing. I want to ask you, what motivates your behavior towards non-believers? What motivates the way you treat people who are wicked, who may argue with you about evolution or whatever it might be, who are living in ignorance, who are swearing and using God's name in vain around you? What motivates your response to them? Hopefully, the fact that God was gracious, and God was kind, and God was loving, and God was merciful by sending His Son to save us, that we would ultimately be ready for every good deed, malign no one, be uncontentious, we would forbear, and we would be meek towards all men. I pray this reminds us to do so. This should be a motivating factor for how we treat those who are not in Christ. Let me ask you, are you gracious, kind, loving, and merciful towards non-believers? Have you blown it? Maybe you ought to go to them and just say, you know what, I'm sorry. I wasn't gracious. They may not accept it. They're lost. Go to them and say, you're sorry. I'm sorry for the way I acted. I'm sorry when I told you to stop using the Lord's name in vain. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my arrogance. Be gracious. Be kind. Be loving. Be ready for every good deed, for the Lord might use these opportunities for you to share the good news concerning Christ.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that He took on human flesh, that He came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that His work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to Him and ask Him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word and Your Son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know You, who still are in their sins.
that they would turn from their sin and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our New Believers Packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your New Believers Packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.